What do you do when your child wants to do something that's way out of their league? As parenting heroes, we want our children to feel our love,
to know that they are worthy and needed,
and to keep them connected to our family and the things that matter most.
We are Kent and Amy Bowler, and we are here to fortify you in that divine calling as parenting heroes.
This is where joy lives.
Welcome to Revolutionary Families.
Oh, it reminds me of a fun story from when our older boys were younger, not so old. So our oldest was playing soccer. Well, I think all three were playing soccer. All our three oldest boys were playing soccer all together. And they had different levels of skill playing soccer. Our oldest kept playing soccer for a while and got into competitive soccer. And as he started growing that, so he's still pretty young, you know, maybe 12. And as he's doing that, he has an opportunity to start reffing other games, because where we lived at the time in Colorado, there was just a ton of interest in soccer. Mm-hmm. So a big league, lots of teams, and they needed refs all the time. So they're always asking for refs. And so our oldest starts reffing on the side, and our second oldest, who's not really playing soccer so much anymore because it wasn't his thing and didn't really like it. You know, he played a little bit and then didn't. He asked his older brother how much he was getting paid per game, and his brother told him, and it's like, whoa, light bulb. You know, it was like, what are you talking about?
He's reffing little kid soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's all, I want to do that. And so we said, yeah, let's do it. That's awesome. You know, so we went to
No, we were like,
I'm telling the story. What did we actually do?
We were like, can he do it? Is he capable? He doesn't really like soccer that much. He stopped playing. He's not very mature. He struggles with having personal power. He struggles with controlling his emotions. What if he gives a call as a ref and the people are upset with him, but the kids don't agree with him? I mean,
yeah,
we were feeling that, actually.
Yeah.
That's maybe we said to him, yeah.
Right. What we said was what I said a second ago. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do that. That's awesome. But yeah, we had some thoughts there and some concerns and weren't sure if that was something that he really could do. But then we thought about the things that we also knew about him, his determination, his strength physically, emotionally, sometimes as well, and just his willpower to get things done.
Yeah. Yeah, commitment. He was really good with rules.
Very good with rules.
Yeah, which that's part of being a ref.
Yeah, yeah. And very clear on justice, right? So he was the justice warrior in our home.
Yeah, which caused some trouble. But
Mom and Dad, you could have been fair, but you weren't, right? So always very aware of what would have been the most equitable solution. So that was another strength that he had. And this is all, again, as a young child, young boy. And so we went with him to the soccer store, and we got the flags, the uniform, and he signed up and took the test, you know, and started reffing. And pretty quickly, he's not just reffing the little kids' games. He's reffing games that his older brother is in. And it was amazing because he held strong. He was a really good ref. He really was. And you know, he's younger than the kids that he's reffing. And so they're pushing him around and questioning things. You've got parents on the sideline who are going berserk. I mean, have you ever been to a... It's like Texas football. This is how soccer was in Colorado. It's a thing. And every single parent is on the sideline feeling like they're the coach. And they're yelling at the kids and they're yelling at the ref. And it's insane. It's intense. And he did it. He was in it. And he carried that. And he did that for a season or two.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. And I think about, there were times when, you know, we were there watching a couple of the games, and you, as a parent of this child who's reffing and who's in charge, I think I have this constant list in my mind of ways that they could be improving, things that he could be doing better. Maybe he walks out there and his uniform isn't very neat looking. Maybe he didn't tuck in his shirt, or maybe he's not even smiling. He's looking kind of annoyed that he's there, or, you know, any of those kinds of things. I just start to see, like, and maybe he actually makes a mistake. He's not perfect at this. And it's really natural for us as parents often to see the things that aren't going great, because in any situation, nobody's perfect. Nothing is going all great. But also, it's just, you know, you look at the situation and he's out there reffing, and no, he's not perfect. But choosing to say, I'm going to see the good that he is doing. He's committed. He shows up for the games that he signs up for, even though a lot of times that means he has to miss doing some fun thing with his friends. He can't go to the store and buy a candy bar now because he's got to go and ref. And
but now he is going to the candy store more often afterwards because he's earned his own money.
Right.
And he's learning principles with having his own money and what to do with that money.
Yeah.
So it grows and expands.
Yeah. It's just thinking about these other things that he was actually doing, like you're saying, holding his own with those parents and being able to stay calm. That was a huge thing for him then. And just really seeing the good, him pushing through to the end, finishing something. I mean, just some really good things that he was doing in the moment. And that is part of our belief. And it's so, so important for us to do with our children, is to, in any given moment, wherever they are on their journey and what they're struggling with, because they're always struggling, we're always struggling with some things, but in the midst of the struggle, there's always good. And when we choose to focus on that good, focus on what they're doing well, it helps us to see them in a better light. It helps in our interactions with them. It helps how they feel about themselves. And that is this amazing cycle we talked about before with the Pygmalion effect, is that when we see them in a good light, then they feel that from us. They start to feel themselves in a good light, in a better light, and it improves what they're doing. It's just an amazing magic thing.
Yeah, so awesome. And then their confidence builds.
Yeah.
As their confidence builds, their results improve.
Yeah.
They see that their own results are improving. And so it's this awesome self-reinforcing upward spiral.
Yeah.
Where they are growing and learning.
Yeah, yeah.
Chaim Ganot has this cool quote. He says, "Treat a child as though he already is the person he's capable of becoming." And this is exactly what we're talking about, right? When we have that belief internally, when we are seeing how great they already are, it makes it easy for us to treat them that way. And that is actually the natural result of that internal belief. When we see they're good, when we see those things that are like, what? I can't believe he's doing that.
Yeah.
He's out there on the field with these kids who are athletic, running circles around him, parents screaming from the sidelines, managing the tension of this competitive soccer competition. And he's there. He's holding it. He's doing it. So as we hold that belief, it comes through in our body language. It comes through in our tone. It comes through in the way we pour milk for them at breakfast and everything that we're doing. And they feel that.
Yeah.
And when they feel that, then this is Chaim's quote coming into life. They feel that from us. And then it becomes so much easier for them to become that.
Yeah.
To become even more.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so, so great. So think of one of your children, somebody who is maybe struggling right now a little bit more than others, and maybe someone who, like me, maybe you see the hard, you see the things they're not doing well. When you walk by their room, you see the mess. When you see them when they come back from something, you see the sadness on their face, and you just have that worry, you have that stress, that concern, and my parent mind just starts going in this evidence of their struggle, evidence that they are not doing good. And, oh, they're not being nice. And now they're rude to me and they're rude to the brother. And then it just like gets to be, I'm like, well, yeah. And then he didn't do this homework the other day. And then bliss, you know, it just is this downward spiral. And stop the negative spiral for a second. And really, honestly, seriously, right this minute, we want you to think of a good thing that child is doing right now. something in their life that you have seen them do over the past week that is good. What is something that you've heard them say? Maybe you've seen them do, or they told about something that happened. Maybe it's not a soccer game. Maybe it's an interaction with a sibling. Maybe they said something to you that was kind. Maybe they followed through with something. It can be anything, and it could be something that they do on a regular basis. Don't discount those things. Those things are real. They're doing good things. And that is the power of belief. And if you want to go an extra step, write down that thing that you thought of that they are doing good. That's your belief in them. And that's what we call the proof positive journal. And we've talked about it before, but a really, really powerful way for you to build that belief and to continue doing it.
So good. It's so fun to be parents and to see our children. And as we change that focus of what we're seeing, it gets even funner.
Yeah.
Because now we're not mired down in the goop,
yeah,
in the gunk, and we're seeing them shine. And it's so, so fun. So as we wrap this up, three things that we can do to increase that belief in them and help them to grow that own belief for themselves. So the first one is, like we did with our son, just allow those opportunities, especially when they're asking for it, right? If they're asking for it, find a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
So allow those opportunities for growth.
And that involves overcoming our own misgivings about that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Second thing is, when it gets scary, when we fall back into those misgivings,
yeah,
we dismiss those, let go of those, right? And go back and focus on, we got this, he's got this, she's got this. Remember the good things.
Yeah.
Hold on to the scary part and trust.
Hold on to the belief.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hold on to the, yep, exercise some faith, hold on to the belief, and exercise some trust in their ability to learn, to become, and to practice.
Yeah.
Right, so that when they fall short, when they make those mistakes, it's okay. They're still practicing, they're still learning. And that's how we grow, period, is by falling down and picking ourselves back up and trying again.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, like Amy was just talking about, doing that proof positive. We addressed that we're talking about that in episode number 54. So if you want to go back and listen to that one, we talk a lot more about that proof positive journal.
Yeah. You are amazing parents. The fact that you're here, you're taking time out of your day to see how you can better connect with your child, how you can even be a better parent, how you can improve, how you can help them with their struggle. We admire you for that and for who you are and who you are trying to be and the family that you're creating. We applaud you.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah, and we want to invite you to go to revolutionaryfamilies.com. We have an awesome PDF to download, and it is really all about this. It is all about building the belief in your child, and it actually gives you a few specific steps that you can go through, some papers that you can write them down on if you want to print them out or do them online. Just really cool, and I think you're going to really like that. So go there and join us and stay connected with us. And don't forget to trust that God trusts you.